Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle is here with me. We're looking ahead to Michigan State Week, looking back a bit on Penn State's 28-21 win over Michigan that sent them to 7-0 on the season, number six now in the Associated Press and the coaches' polls, you know, really knocking on the door of where they want to be in that top four come season's end. Obviously, a lot of business to tend to, including this weekend against a Michigan State team that was outmanned each of the past 2 years and still managed to find ways to win. Penn State going to East Lansing, you know, on paper, a much better team than Michigan State is, but I think Penn State fans have learned not to take that for granted. You still got to go out and earn it against this Spartan team that you know is going to fight. Speaking of the Michigan game, we'll do a little stock up, stock down here in just a moment. We'll look ahead a little bit more in depth at that Penn State-Michigan State matchup. We'll do Ask Greg your Penn State football questions and maybe some recruiting ones coming off a weekend where they got two new commits in the 2021 class, brought that class to three commitments in all, and then we'll round things out with best bets. Greg's five bets from around college football and including, you know, the Penn State, Michigan State will really take a stand and break that down from a wagering point of view. So let's start Penn State 7-0, 28-21 over Michigan. Some things to complain about in this game, and I'm sure there's going to be some stock down, but there are some things to really praise Penn State for. And I'll start the bidding right where obviously you probably should at KJ Hamler. Six catches for 108 yards, two touchdowns, had a kick return that he took to the house that was called back. That was just lightning, just crazy fast. You saw, you know, this was Michigan's special teams. You know, their coverage team looked like they were standing in mud when he hit that other gear right around midfield and took off, obviously for naught, but you know, another big thing late was KJ Hamler getting a handoff on third and three. Penn State absolutely needing a first down. They're sitting there with a 7-point lead that you really don't feel good about if Penn State doesn't get that the first down and run out the clock late. KJ Hamler put his head down and got through that. Just, you know, we've seen a lot of really great things from KJ Hamler. This was, I don't know if, was it his best day as a Penn State player?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And like we talked about earlier in the week, it's just a shame that kickoff return for a touchdown is never going to be, it's going to be a nothing but a footnote of being called back down the road. So, yeah, Big Ten's Offensive Player of the Week was good reason. Really just did everything Penn State needed him to do when they needed him to do it. And he stepped up in key moments. He stepped up in you know, times when Penn State needed to get some stuff going on offense. And boy, did he ever take advantage of a blown Michigan assignment. I guess they said after the game they didn't get to play in on that long touchdown in the fourth quarter, and it ended up deciding the game. Heck of an effort from him.
Another stock up I'll go to would be just the scene at Beaver Stadium. Like, you've seen most of the recent whiteout games. I don't know where this one stacks up, but a crowd of 110,669, the fourth largest crowd ever at Beaver Stadium. They're energized, vocal. They play a part early. Michigan hadn't even run a play yet, and they had to call timeout
because it was apathetic.
So you got to give some credit. You tip your cap to the Penn State crowd. Came alive in this one. Hard to be, you know, it's hard to be a real factor when things are working against you, like in those second and third quarters. But, you know, the scene just did not disappoint.
No, it was unbelievable. And the thing that always strikes me about the whiteout weekend is that the fans are in the stadium for warmups. They aren't. I mean, there's people in there for other games when the team takes a field with 75 minutes before kickoff to get out there, but they are in almost completely, and the stadium is almost completely
full
for the warm-ups for the whiteout game, which always amazes me. And yeah, it was a heck of an environment, a heck of a crowd, and they did their job. They gave Michigan just enough in the way of obstacles to slow them down, which helped Penn State, you know, secure a victory. So yeah, a heck of a job by them. I guess another stock up for me, Dustin, would be just the play of this defense overall, and Micah Parsons in particular. I thought he played one of his most instinctual games in just his, you know, second season as a linebacker. 14 tackles, six of those solos. he didn't get to the quarterback. They didn't get to the quarterback. That was a problem, but he made the plays when they were there to be made otherwise.
I thought
Abe Franklin took a pretty good amount of offense, I felt like, to the question about the not getting the sacks. And he's like, and you know, he said, how did he put it? That we came into this game leading the country in sacks. That's wonderful. But guess what? They've done that in the past, but they can't get to the passer against the best teams. And that's really what the problem is. You can rack up all the sacks you want against lesser opponents, but you should be, if you're going to, you know, if you want to take it to the college football playoff, take it to the Big Ten title game, your pass rush has to travel. And it can't just be something that shows up when you're playing the Purdue's and Idaho's of the world. It has to show up in the games like Michigan, too. It didn't here and it didn't cost them, but it could down the road.
Yeah, and it's tough because there's a lot of factors to this. Number one, you know, I think Michigan's offensive line played pretty well. Number two, Shea Patterson had a way of stepping out and away and slipping out of sticky situations. You know, it's one of his strengths as a passer. You can call him a dual threat if you want. He's a passer who just happens to be mobile enough to make plays while he's on the run, to be able to kind of skirt pressure. And number three was Michigan called a game plan where that ball was coming out quick, you know, and I think – you know, the last thing you want, whether your quarterback is mobile or not, is to have them be sitting in the pocket for a long period of time, because this pass rush will eventually get there. So all these things came together, and I'm sure it was a frustrating night for, you know, the interior, for those defensive ends, for Shaka Toney, for Yetur Gross-Matos, because everything was designed to neutralize them.
Right.
So,
I mean, this goes back to, yet again, Penn State not making its strength, you know, something the opponent has to deal with. Instead, the opponent basically force-fed it to Penn State and said, you're not going to beat us this way.
And it's tough because clearly Michigan – I don't think this was even an in-game adjustment. Maybe the volume with which they were getting the ball out quick into the exterior of Penn State's defense, which, by the way, I think over the last 2-3 years we've seen that that has been an effective way to attack this defense, is to force those guys on the outside to make tackles in space, in a lot of cases one-on-one. And there were some missed – there were some missed tackles on the outside in this game from defensive backs. So I think it was part of their strategy up front because of this pass rush. But then, you know, I don't think there was an adjustment back either. I felt like Micah Parsons played a really good game. I mean, among Penn State's defensive players, he was a bright light. 14 total tackles, I believe 8 of them were solo. I really wanted to, you know, in the early going, you're thinking Tre Castro Fields is having an unbelievable day. And then I think all those cornerbacks, all the whole secondary had some rough moments trying to handle these Michigan wide receivers and making, you know, missing tackles or getting whistled for penalties. It was really all of them. But, you know, Tre Castro Fields, you saw some of what he really brings to the table, which is physical, willing tackler. You know, he really sniffed out that screen pass to make a key interception earlier. So he did some good things as well. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're recapping Penn State, Michigan one more time. Penn State wins 28-21. We had some good things to say. What do you like for stock down here, Greg? There's a pretty big menu to choose from. If there is
for a 28-21 win over a top 25 program. You know, James Franklin's in-game management hits this spot, I think. Again, it's just we've just seen too many instances, Dustin, of just poorly thought out decision making and execution. The timeout at the end of the half certainly falls into that category, but just in-game adjustments in general have been a struggle. So that's in there. I thought the officiating was poor yet again. I thought Michigan was on the wrong side of some calls. I thought Penn State was on the wrong side of some calls. I thought that it was just another incompetent performance from that group, so they make the list. You know, and Penn State, I think Joe Lurie needs to spend some time pondering their punt blocking situation, because they've looked darn close to having one blocked before. And, you know, they have Blake Gillikin then do the rugby style punt, and that doesn't ever seem to go well. But then when he stands back there and kicks it like normal, he kicks it 60 yards. So I don't know if it's a stock down, but certainly that's something they have to get figured out, because teams are just blowing right through the offensive line, and all of a sudden, before you know it, Dustin, they're on top of those three guys standing there to protect Gillikin. So I got to get that figured out.
Yeah, there's a variety of things to get figured out, and which makes, you know, the 7-0 start, back-to-back wins over flawed, yeah, Iowa and Michigan teams, but they're still ranked teams. They went into Iowa Stadium and did that. Two very different defensive approaches. You know, the emphasis on this one on big plays, and they made enough of them. And I think, you know, this dynamic of weighing Penn State, you know, in the early exits, the three and outs that can be so frustrating that put your defense in tough positions, even if field position isn't a factor in that. You know, I think the morale of the game and putting the defense in a position where they just endured a 12-play drive and now you go three and out and they're right back on the field again. You know, I think there's a little too much of that, but I'm not opposed to an offense that emphasizes big plays. I think James Franklin, whatever analytics he's using, sees that as, you know, the most crucial thing to winning these football games is making big explosive plays down the field. And whether you can say they're overemphasizing that or not, in this game, they made enough of those plays and it made all the difference.
It did. And, you know, beyond that, again, it's, if you don't want to put too much in the stock down category after a
I put Jim Harbaugh in stock down.
But yeah.
Honest to goodness, I put him in stock down. I think he's in a tough spot in his career. Never beaten Ohio State. They can't go on the road and beat anybody good. They can't really beat anybody good in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, you suffer a loss that falls right in line with what he's done in his career there, which isn't as much as he's paid to do, frankly. And then for some of the first words out of his mouth to be a big lofty complaint about the officiating, it's just a bad look. He's such a weird guy, and it just bothers me. It would bother me no matter, like, if James Franklin did, if anybody did it, for them to not just go through the cordial, you know, Penn State made plays tonight.
Right.
We tip our caps to them. Just say it.
Yeah.
Just play the game.
Yeah.
You know, play the PR game and say those things. He just comes off as a brat, and, you know, and not taking accountability for his coaching staff and his team going out and losing this game when they probably should have won it.
Right. And, you know, I thought Michigan lost this game in some respects more than Penn State won it. But I think that's where James Franklin's at in his career, and that's where Jim Harbaugh's at in his career, that Penn State handed Michigan as many opportunities as it wanted to win. Jim Harbaugh couldn't find a way to get his team to take those. James Franklin found a way to motivate his players to not overlook any minor details late in the game, and ended up being what led to another victory in the end.
So Penn State wins 28-21, 7-0 now. They got one more game, a road trip to Michigan State before a bye week, and really buckling down for that last month of the season. All crucial matchup coming up with Ohio State. But first, we're going to take a quick break. They got the Spartans in East Lansing. We'll look ahead to that matchup in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.